at Revolution Radio.
The journey begins to fun, health, and freedom.
Syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Look, you stupid bastard. You've got no arms left.
Yes, I have.
Look.
It's just a flesh wound.
I don't believe I've seen such a display of courage, skill, nerve, grace, and stupidity.
I'll do you for that.
Oh, what?
Come here.
What are you going to do, bleed on me?
I'm invincible.
You're a loony.
The Black Knight always triumphs.
Roundtable Live, Monday through Friday, 1 a.m. till 4 a.m. Eastern Time. Bring your mind, bring your ideas, bring your voice. King Arthur had nothing on us. Here, Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here. Thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And yeah, we're going to get back to your host.
All right. Welcome back to hour number three of the High Council. We're joined by the hijacker. I know he's just, can't wait, burning it up. All right, hijacker, what do you got? Welcome to hour number three.
Yeah, you had a couple things. One about the bloodlines. One about the the AI chat. And so one of the observations.
Chat GPT.
Yeah, chat. What is it? Chat GPT.
GPT. Yeah.
GPT.
Yeah, GPT-4 actually. But go ahead.
Right.
Right. Well, that's supposed to be like the next big thing. It's going to be. They say it's actually going to, if we continue on the way we are, which, by the way, it's a military program, which means they're light years ahead of us.
Actually, what they're saying is it's going to expire itself because it's going to be overwhelmed with woke nonsense.
Well, no, just think about
what
how
happened?
Many people. Just think about how many people are actually using it, how much computing power
it's
that is.
Using it? Yeah, go ahead.
It's like right. The fastest growing app ever. It's like got over, I don't know how many millions of users or whatever, but it's really fast. It grew real quick.
Right. And yeah. So what we're watching is we're actually watching the destruction of the search engines of Google, all the rest. Mm. Think about since you've been using it, how many times did you go to DuckDuckGo or Yanza?
Right.
Or
that's
Google?
A good point.
Right.
Yeah.
And so what happens is it's going to crush all those search engines where you used to do independent research and used to come back, 100,000 different places, which somebody proved that's not true anymore. You can only go a couple pages back. It's all bunk. But what's going to happen is that soon the search engines fade away. Soon all the stuff that they've basically put into electronic up on the computer – and they got rid of the actual live book, then you're actually going to want to do a search, and you go to chat GPT, and you'll say, tell me, do a search of the moon landing. And what is it going to give you? It's only going to give you the right answer. That's all you're going to get. You're not going to be able
you
to.
You mean the accepted
they're trying to foul everybody into the hour. Yeah,
the cleansed, the cleansed answer.
Right. Yeah. Well, think about it. Think about it, Ro. Yeah. How much since you've been using it? How much have you?
Well, see, ChatGPT doesn't have real time access to the web, so I if you want, you know, up to date information, you still got to use the traditional search engine to get what's happening, and then you may take that and plug that. I found myself taking relevant data and plugging it into ChatGPT or vice versa. So I use them in conjunction with each other. That's why the Bing version is pretty good, because they've got it next to the search, so you can have it look to see what you're searching. But,
my point is.
But I do understand your point. Yeah, and the problem
I have. They try to go back like
answer,
the Wayback Machine. Go ahead.
They give you these certain answers, and it's sort of like programmed not to deviate from any other answer. And so they want to corral everybody. Like all of a sudden, NVIDIA has their computing power, and Microsoft is offering this and that. So they've got like the standardized corporate versions of the AI, which will, you know, help you do things, but it won't specifically do everything that you might want it to do. It'll be sanitized and politically correct. So there's still going to be probably this rogue element out there that's actually being developed right now, where they'll have versions of AI that, well, they will do these other things. So...
Well, wouldn't that open up an opportunity for like cottage industry AIs that people can develop their own, and they won't have to worry about the limitations? Yeah,
that's already beginning. But right now, they're trying to get the majority of people into like the mainstream, you know. Of course, Microsoft is working with open AI, and you've got NVIDIA that's, you know, producing the standardized processing power that they rent to you, and maybe like if you're using this and they don't like you, they can again shut you off, so you may all of a sudden not have the processing capability, computing power that you need to run your algorithm. So
well, it's not that this is what I'm talking about, and I gotta give credit to Rick Wiles. So the Federal Insurance Depository, where you get $250,000, right? You know, we just went through that.
Right, FDIC.
The FDIC, you know, has it ever been insolvent? Well, anyways, Rick remembered that it was insolvent at around 2007, 2008. And so he went to actually search Google, DuckDuckGo, all these different search machines. He could not find one article of that it was insolvent back then, but he remembered it, and he's been using like the chat GPT, right? And they said that standard answer, oh, it has never been insolvent. Anyways, he knew he remembered it, and so the only way he actually found one article at Forbes, and the only way he found it is that he had to go to the Wayback Machine, and he found an article. When we all can remember, anybody that can remember, they said it was going to be martial law if you don't do the TARP funds.
Yeah.
The TARP, exactly.
All that stuff is erased. So once people get addicted
Temporary Asset Relief Program or something like that, where they basically bailed out the rich banks?
Right. Well, the point is that more and more we become addicted to our little personal AI chat, GPT chat, then the less we are actually going
to... Oh, you don't know the half of it. Oh, guess what's happening? The next upgrade that's going to come out for Apple iOS, and especially the Apple iPhone 14, they have several processing cores that they didn't really tell anybody about that have been dormant, and they weren't being used for anything, but they're going to activate these several processing cores. I forget how many there are, but they're going to activate. The reason is their Siri is going to get a brain transplant, and she's going to go full AI, and it's going to be your personalized running on your Apple iPhone independently algorithm, Siri AI, that's learning everything about you, and it's personalized for you. So each Apple iPhone AI interaction will be unique, you know, to the individual that, of course, owns the phone. So that's the whole, and the funny thing is, of course, they planned this ahead because those cores, you know, they didn't tell anybody. They had extra computing power that they're just going to suddenly turn on. It's just going to activate. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
But Siri's, you know, pretty adept right now. I mean, I can't imagine what practical use. What
it'll
would it
like
do?
What would I... It'll be like your little genie in a box, right? You'll just be able to say, hey, Siri, you know, and you'll be able to talk to it like GPT. You know, it'll be like a little human in there. Siri,
but it can do that now, can it not?
Well, how does Siri differ from ChatGPT?
Well, she's maybe kind of limited on her responses. You know, it's not designed to really give you in-depth, long answers.
There you go.
But she can engage you, you know, sufficiently enough, you know, for day-to-day tasks.
But also, does she remember her context? Does she remember you and your context and the conversation, your habits, where you went, what you had for dinner yesterday? So this is the thing, that it will be able to learn off of you, and that now some people will like that. Some people like an efficient assistant, computer,
yeah,
you know, that it's in their pocket that they can just talk to and say, hey, what was Bob's phone number? Can you, don't let me forget to, I need to send Christmas cards to everybody on that list. And also,
right,
you know, I mean, and you'll be able to talk to it like an assistant. That a lot of people it's appealing to. Other people might think, like,
now?
I want this little big brother in my pocket. So what was that?
Siri can't do that now.
I guess to a limited aspect, yeah. I mean, it's this is closer to, you know, full on AI.
The big picture is once you got this genie in your phone, what happens to a normal human being? Mm-hmm. And I learned this the hard way, that a normal human being is all about their own personal self-interest. So immediately, once you got this genie in this phone, you become a narcissist. You become, yeah, it's all about consumerism. It's all about, where's the coupon? Where's the deal? It's materialism. And so you never stop and think, well, what about the big questions of life? Why am I here? Who created me? What is this earth? All that kind of stuff that you would normally think, daydreaming or not having it, all of a sudden you're locked into this artificial world, and you never even stop and think.
So your
why
life,
am I born?
Your yeah. life becomes augmented by the machine. Yeah,
exactly.
Mm-hmm. Augmented and reality.
Then, mm-hmm.
Right, and then if you want to actually know any kind of history, it's all gone because it's all been turned into binary electronics, you know.
But we were discussing this in the green room anyway, that history has already been altered and distorted, and we're already living in a lie, so it's just more of the same, I'm suggesting.
Yeah, and
right?
then you gotta
our
stop.
History is false.
Right, and then you gotta stop and you go, wait a minute, this AI, the vax, all came out of the military deep industrial complex, and so we know they're probably 10, maybe 20 years ahead of us, maybe more. And so what are they put? Are they putting us in a matrix now?
Yeah, everybody gets a unique AI that's sort of like training each individual uniquely how they want to be, how they're susceptible, but it's sort of corralling them into the groupthink. Like on the other end, on one side, it's reaching out to you uniquely as your personal assistant. And on the other side, it's dragging you toward the center core of all the one mind hive, you know, kind of.
The Borg, right. Yeah. The hive of the Borg mind.
the tentacles.
Well, if we don't notice the effect, we probably won't. It won't matter.
Right? And eventually, you know, Junior's going to say, "Hey, you know, there's this really cool helmet thing that, you know, I need to have a small little augmentation." Right now, you know, the age for kids getting tattoos is dropped. Well, pretty soon those tattoos might be turned into, you know, some sort of like interface where you can, you know, get this little plug in, and then the next thing it'll be, you know, some sort of permanent interaction with the artificial intelligence, and you know, you don't want to be left behind, and then everybody will be plugged into this matrix where they'll be able to interact at the speed of thought, right? And it's
well,
all
what I'm saying, it's going to actually be, it'll actually be worse than that. Any kind of history will actually be morphed. I mean, you can see 10 years from now, you'll ask somebody that's a 20 something year old, and they'll say, what was the Civil War about? Well, there was a slang word called niggers. And the Civil War was a bunch of white people started killing niggers, and the niggers rose up and fought back and killed the whites. That's what the Civil War is. And now I know what the American Civil War is about. It was about a bunch of blacks and whites killing each other. Okay, I get it. And so all of a sudden, all the other nuance of what the Civil War is really about is all gone.
So basically what you're saying is they're going to erase history.
Yes. Yes.
And have a manufactured history for our consumption. But somewhere exists the real history, right? I mean, because don't want to. The controllers want to keep track of the history.
The history that we know already is a lie. So the history that they're and the history that they're about to erase is not going to be for us. It's going to be for our descendants, our children and grandchildren.
Yes, right. Gotcha.
Because they won't remember. So boom, it'll be that generation. So that'll be a different history. So we're seeing the beginnings of that now with, like, let's say the removal of the statues, for example, the censoring of books, the rewriting of certain aspects. So
right, the removal of cursive writing, no more training in that.
Right, and soon it'll be, what is Christmas? Christmas is when Jesus actually he incarnates as this fat man called Santa Claus, and he goes around the earth, and he gets one day a week. Jesus comes back down from heaven.
And he gives kryptonite out.
Right. Right.
Yes, so, and gives vaccines to kids, to all the good little boys and girls.
Gives kryptonite vaccines.
Right, and we know they're going to do it.
Yes, that's what he does.
We know they're going to do it because we know about the ancient maps, the Tartarian Empire, even the founding of this country. What, all of a sudden a bunch of whites appear right around the
1700s? Well, why not call it what it is, another reset. That's what it is.
That's
a
what
mud
it is.
Flood
is,
reset.
Is Santa going to be called the Bad Bammer Jabber? Jabber?
Who? Mad Bammer Jabber. Yeah. Jabber.
Oh, by the time they're done, Vladimir Putin, 50 years from now, he was a great, large, fat worm called Jabba. Jabba Putin. And he reigned an evil empire. And, they'll mix all that stuff, all the movies and all that crap they fed us,
you're assuming that this faction is going to maintain control in order to distort history in their favor. They may not have the ability to do so. They may be
that's because you believe in white hats. You're under a
no. I don't mean not necessarily white hats. It could be another faction of black hats. You know, I mean. We don't know, right? What if Russia and China
much know how the world works? That's one
thing. But Russia or China can take over and change the narrative, right?
That's another family. That's another faction. We know basically the world is governed by basically 13 Illuminati families, and we talk about the bloodlines. The Lee family is really old. In fact, you were talking about John Wayne. He was thinking that, everybody came from like Africa and then we flowed.
That was mechanic. The mechanic was introducing that hypothesis.
Right.
I don't think it's been proven, but yeah.
Right. Well, we now know
widely accepted.
Right. Well, if you want to know the oldest peoples on the earth, it's actually the black man and the Asian. And where the white people came from. Right.
Yeah.
Where the white people came from. Zen Garcia, he talks about it. There wasn't just like Adam and Eve and then everybody came from them. There was actually 146 different pairs of what you would call man and woman that were created. Okay. It didn't all just come from. In fact, the white people. What's your unique mark besides the pigment of the skin?
White people blush. They have the red ruddiness.
No, it's something more than that. It's something a pure black man doesn't have. It's something a pure Asian doesn't have.
There are.
A pure Native American doesn't have. What's one thing that the white people have that no other race on the earth has?
Well, tell us, goddammit.
Suntans.
Nope.
We asked you to tell us.
Not blonde hair.
Nope, it's not blonde. It's bearded. The bearded people. Now, yeah, you got some.
Well, patients. I have a beard. I'm a jacker, so.
You got white blood in you.
Wait. Let's back up to the very first segment of the High Council. Mechanic opened the show. They had this black man in dreads, right? And he was bearded.
Yeah.
Right? Talking about how much he hates white people and we got to kill them all.
Right. He's a mulatto. So,
that's what I was thinking too. He may be indicting himself because he may be a mixture of white blood. So he's like signing his own death warrant, basically. But are you saying that beards are the sole provenance of whites? I mean, because I have a beard.
No, Japanese have a beard, but there was
Marvin Gaye. Marvin Gaye has a beard.
If you actually take a look at a pure black African. I'm telling you, free and away, you're nowhere black near African. Close. I've met pure black African. They're black as coal. They don't have a hair on their face.
Right, but then there's the Hebrew line, you know, because Africa and Asia were joined, right?
Right, just like you got Haitians and you got Japanese. Certain Japanese got beards. But
right. By
and large, if you take a look, it's where the whites have interact and have intermated with these other 46 different.
So the beard is the telltale signature that is in the encoding in the DNA of whites.
You could type in African beard and you can find all kinds of bearded.
Well, what he's suggesting, though, Mr. Rowe, is that they are an admixture because they did. There was an exodus to the west, right, from the Hebraic lands to the Africa, to sub-Saharan Africa. Yeah.
Right, the Europeans went all over the world.
A lot of Muslims have beards.
What's that?
There's a lot of Middle Eastern.
Right, Muslims, but they're Hebraic and they are white. I guess we got to define. What do you mean when you say white? You have to maybe define it. Are you including Arabs? Are you including
obviously Anglo
Hebrews,
Caucasians, Anglo Saxons, right?
Yeah, Mesopotamians had beards, so were they Slavics. Would be whites?
Right, and that also gets
Syrians,
into
yeah.
Right. That also gets into the serpent seed line. That's why David Icke says that he believes that 15% of the whites are of the serpent seed line. Now he's talking about a lot of the Jews. You know, with the Jews, they'll say they're white,
Khazars.
But then they won't. It depends on how they need to calculate it.
Let me run this by you, hijacker, because this just came up, you know, in my studies a few days ago. What is your take on the blue and the red blood, like the term blue blood? And blue is indicative of the scorpion, of the octopus blood, basically the demonic seed, right? The Cain and Abel narrative. And the blue blood would be Cain. Blue blood Cain. Cain would represent the darkness, the evil, and the blue bloods. And then the red blood would be the Adamic, with the blushing, the red, the ruddy.
Right, now you're
red.
Getting up to the, yeah, now you're getting up to the highest level of where the bloodlines come from.
Yeah. So that's the basic argument, the red and the blue, right? That's why they call themselves blue bloods, right?
Right, and it's something about the Rh negative, like only
yeah,
about,
like that Pink Floyd. Remember that?
Yeah,
Pink
only
Floyd
like 8-10%.
Us and them? Right, yeah. He's talking about us and them. He's a blue blood, and he's talking about them, the red-blooded Adamic races, which they are at war.
Right.
They are constantly at war.
Yeah, the people who actually rule us are the ones that believe they are superior, they are of different blood. And
right.
A lot of people think, oh, all they want to do is just make more and more money. No, no, they have all the money. The reason why they set the system up the way it's set up is they want to be the ones that scoop up the money so you don't get the money. That's why they're at war
right.
with the middle class. The middle class is their only
right.
threat. And so if they can deny that group of people having the economics and the funds, that means they will prevent them from finding out or actually using the resources to actually fight back. And that's what we're in the end stages of right now. And then when it comes down to, there's a natural curse. Zen Garcia went through it. God did give the fallen ones and their offspring a curse.
And right, the fallen
they ultimately
ones
would
the blue
be,
bloods.
Right. And one of the curses that they would actually have a natural curse of turning on each other. That's why you have these different cartels. You got the Russians and the Russian factor and that cartel. Then you got the Lee family, Xi Jinping. He wants power. And you got these different pockets of power. And they're all vying for, you know, who's going to be on top. And that's what we're in the midst of now. That's the only thing that's actually buying us any time, is that all of these different, what you would call superior or Illuminati bloodline families, they're all whacking it out, trying to be the last
that's
one.
That's what I was saying.
Yeah.
Right. So we don't know what narrative might be the final one that dominates, right? Because they're fighting each other. So if Russia and China say win, you know, they would change history in their favor, where Putin would be exalted, right? He wouldn't be considered like Jabba.
Well, I'm pretty sure that Putin is not playing. Right. I'm pretty sure that the great and mighty warrior king of Mother Russia, Vladimir Putin, is not playing for second fiddle. He's looking to take over the chair. He wants to be top.
Yeah. You almost have to.
Right. The same with the cabal out of Israel. They want
right.
to be on top. The Jews.
I think Putin wants right. to secure the world before he retires. I really do. I think Putin wants to make sure that Russia goes on to have a bright future, secure future,
right.
with, you know, and as peaceful as can be with as many allies as it can, and screw the rest of the West and all that. But I don't think Putin's
right.
trying to be king of the world or anything like that. I think
no,
he wants
no,
to
I'm,
make
that's
sure
not
that
what I'm saying.
He
I'm
gets
saying
a good successor.
He's going
no,
for,
I understand what you mean, yeah.
Right, I'm saying he's going for the brass ring because he sees that is the best path for the Russian people.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
their whole tribe to survive.
Existential threat has to be met with power and force.
Absolutely.
So,
right.
So he would have to assume the mantle of authority and power over his enemies.
And then once that's done, then I think after that, I think he'll probably want to just fade off into the sunset and retire and make sure that his successor
You can't do that because there are too many that will they will resurge and come after you.
You're gonna put it wrong.
So you have to maintain. Yeah, he will always be in a state of, shall we say, vigilance, right? So
oh yeah,
you
it's
have to maintain strength.
Yeah. Right, it's a never-ending story. For instance, a lot of the power families, the Illuminati families, like out of South America. and like out of Africa, they've already been defeated. There's only like four or five left. There's only like four or five musical chairs left. And that's really what we're deciding right now. It's going to be who is actually going to be in control. And so now you have
nice split. Metaphor.
Right. Yeah. Now you've got the split between the Leaf family, and it's actually Putinov. He's actually comes from the Tsarist.
Romanovs?
Oh, yeah, he comes from Tsarist nobility. They believe he was an offshoot, that his family was actually a bastard. And because Putin is a very rare name in it.
Right.
But Putinov is not. And so there was a czar, like 12th century or whatever, supposedly. So he's actually got royal blood. And so now you're getting into biblical prophecy where the 10 kings of the earth. So we know Putin is one
king. But we're down
king.
To four.
Well, no. There's more of them. There's a Japanese one. There's an Arab one. A Saudi Arabian one. There's a Persian one. And so they're all, but these are the 10 kings of the earth. In other words, and they're ultimately going to come together, and then ultimately they give one gets the power. And that's when we go into the Book of Revelations and Book of Revelation and like the judgment, the final
Gog
judgment.
And Magog.
All that kind of stuff. Yeah. Yeah. However you want to interpret it. Yeah. And maybe even a Turkish one. So there's still big pockets of power out there. They haven't got it all, but now they've got like what they call a instead of a like a bipolar type world or a unipolar.
It's a multipolar world, right?
Right. They're splitting.
Not a unipolar like the United States would prefer, a unipolar world where the neocons dominate, you know, along
with
the
Khazars. Well, it's not the neocons, it's the British, it's the Israelis, it's the Five Eyes.
Yeah.
It's the people who've got that faction.
Right.
But no, that's when you get to the highest level. Yeah.
Right.
Of understanding. So, but just think about it.
Fascinating stuff. Take
a pure Asian man, no hair, doesn't need a razor, nothing. Take a pure black man, doesn't need a razor, no hair, take a look. But then when you get with people that have actually mixed, that's where you'll get Japanese, they've got hair, some Chinese
got it. In northern Japan, Hokkaido, I believe, is the island they live on. Right.
Well, actually, there was a whole white. There was a. Do you know about the white Japanese?
Or Honshu. What's that? Right.
They're like white people.
Right. Exactly. For all intents and purposes.
They're actually discriminated against in Japan. But they want to say they were serpent seed people that came from the sea. I forgot all the different things, but. You know, if you actually just go take a look.
So the Nordic people probably traveled eastward and mixed with Asians or Mongoloid people and produced like an Ainu strain. I believe they're called Ainu in the northernmost part of Japan and northernmost island.
Right. And this could be the genesis of racism. And that is that if Zen's right, and he's done a lot of reading, that there was actually 146 different pairs of people that were created. But Adam and Eve were created, and they were created in the image of God, which made them white, which, by the way, Zen goes into what Jesus looked like. Jesus was a white guy, believe it or not.
I thought he was black.
No. It actually goes into one of the Caesars or Herod, different soldiers. They had to write back to the Caesar Nero or whoever the Caesar was. Well, who is this guy? Mm-hmm. What does he look like? Anyways, there's several letters.
Constantine.
That's been uncovered. And he had blondish, sort of dirty blondish hair. He had like gray, greenish type eyes. He was fairly pale, where he had the blood in the complexion. Of course, he had the beard. But if you want to see the genesis of racism, if all of a sudden this one particular pair that God says, I'm going to create you in my image, and they were the ones that end up with being the bearded and the light skin, then you can see the genesis of racism. And I've got a son who's done, he's done a lot of traveling. And he goes, you know, Dad, there's something really weird all over the world. No matter where I go, it seems like anybody that's got like light skin is better off. It doesn't matter if it's Vietnam. It doesn't matter if it's in Africa, South America, where he'd been to Japan. And so, and actually, if you actually take a look all around the world, it's the people that have got the actual lighter skin.
Well, you could say the God pigment, since you identify God as being white, because the imagery statement.
Well, no, I'm just saying there seems to be genetically there's something connected to it, to where how is it that you can go to like a Pakistani? We all know what Pakistanis look like: thick eyebrows, you know, black hair, whatever. And then you get to their leader, a guy named Khan, and he looks like a white guy in a business suit. How does he end up like leading all the Pakistanis when the average Pakistani doesn't look like him? And so then you go, it doesn't matter where you go in the world. And it seems like, and so is it that there's just a natural, because really now that we're starting to realize the extent of racism, it's not whites that are racist against everybody else. But it seems like everybody else is racist against whites. There's a natural...
Right, that might explain it. Yeah, like it's kind of like maybe you feel like an inferiority complex, and it manifests in these violent reactions towards white people.
There's something to it, yeah.
There's some animus, the jealousy, the, you know... I mean, what's the root cause of all of this? This hatred, this unfounded, a lot of times unjustified, really, this overreaction. You know, for example, like
even when I was growing up with my dad.
And you grew up in D.C. That's important because we had an expose on D.C. I don't know if you caught it, where Mayor Bowser and Fauci were going through the black neighborhoods, trying to con them into getting shots. But anyway, that's kind of aside.
That's another reason I called in. That was actually a two-year-old clip from a PBS special. It was about what Fauci went through and what he had to go through early on in the COVID thing.
Poor baby.
And it actually... If you actually play the whole clip, it should be played in its totality, because the black guy in there, you all chopped it up. You know, he would say something and then you stopped it and chopped it up. But if you really want to hear the full impact of the clip, you ought to play
he did, even though he did segment it, like you said, he did include all of the commentary of the black man. That's why I was so pleased with his response.
No, but you need to hear the whole thing by itself. You need to hear.
Well, we heard the fear.
Yeah, but it was all fragmented. Yeah, it was all broke up.
So you got to let it flow, I guess, is what you're trying to say.
What I'm saying is play the clip. In fact, the backstory is, if you actually take a look at that, Fauci, after he ran into a strong black man, he got into a car. And you actually see him pop pills. And a little while later, I'm serious. A little while later, he pulls out a handkerchief. And some people say, well, he was hot. It was like hot or something. But you can actually see He's wiping his eyes. So he might have been actually crying. So he's popping pills and crying.
Well, yeah, wait, doesn't that go against the superiority narrative? I mean, wouldn't it be, you know, Fauci should be the stronger of the two because he is white and he has the Adamic blessing or whatever. No, so why was he defeated? You know
Fauci,
what I mean? Like,
Fauci's a racist. He ran into the big, strong black Mandingo who debucked up. And he goes, my God, this guy could go get his Glock. This guy could take my life. That's why he went to his car to take the pills. He was upset. And he probably did. The handkerchief wasn't about sweat. He probably was crying. My God, I went up against a real black man. And I was like one inch from this guy breaking his Glock out and saying, you're poisoning me. How about this?
Oh, and by the way, that was a bearded black man, if I recall. If my memory serves.
I don't know.
He did have a beard. So I'm just kind of trying to work your theories into reality, you know.
Okay, well, think about this. Every single black man that has made an impact on the black community, guess what they all got in common?
What's that?
They all got beards. They all are beard ones.
You know, Martin I got to check. King, you're probably right. Malcolm
King.
X had a beard.
Malcolm
Martin
X.
Luther King didn't have a beard. Well, he had kind of like a goatee kind of. Yeah, I guess he did.
No, he had facial hair. He was
that's true.
Farrakhan?
Farrakhan doesn't have a beard. No, he does not. He's clean. No, well, he's clean shaven.
No, but he's got a shave. Farrakhan's got a shave.
Okay.
He doesn't have a beard. What I'm saying is you can have facial hair. Now, you can say that.
Yeah, okay.
You compare that to like
how about Muhammad Ali? Wait, how about Muhammad Ali?
He's shaved.
But can you be sure of this?
Yeah, Joe Frazier. Take a look.
He might be on to something there, Hijacker. I have to investigate that.
You know who I got it from?
Who's that?
I got it from Terrell 03. Because Terrell
O'Three,
he kept talking about the bearded people of the earth. Other words, they are the ones that were created in the image. And I remember talking to him, and he goes, yeah, the ones with facial hair, that's created in the image. And they'll have a lighter complexion. And I says, nah, I didn't believe that. I thought, oh, that's like, you know, Ozark, Terrell O'Three, Hillbilly. I thought, wow, that's really racist. But then when I started checking, and checking in with other people, Zen Garcia, he's got facial hair. So why is it that all these people have got this angle to them? But
you mean blacks that have an impact on the world stage?
Yep.
That can go transcend their local communities? Because I can say Idi Amin was black. He was a leader of Uganda, by the way. Uganda came up in the conversation today because they don't want homosexuals in their country. That's kind of
side. He might be. He may not have facial hair. He might be one.
Right, but he. But I guess your argument still holds true because he was a leader of Uganda, which is a sub-Saharan African. You know, he would be of the pure African stock.
Right, but even him, I think. Had facial hair. Menguado.
I would tend to think no. I would just tend to think no. Very little.
Well, just
don't
check
get that
it out.
Impression.
Just check it out.
But it doesn't discount your theory. I'm just saying, because Malcolm X had a worldwide global impact, right? And he elevated the black community, you know, through his efforts, through his writings, his speeches, and
I'm kind of
getting what you're saying. They can transact and interrelate with the white community at large.
Well, it gets into
the speakers.
It gets into the whole genetic type of argument that a lot of people that are into British Israelism, that basically it's the bearded white people that actually were Adam and Eve. For instance, like David showed blood under the cheek, he blushed. So he was actually the Hebrews, the actual Hebrew people, were white people. They weren't Semitic. The Jews that you think now that are Semitic, they weren't the original Hebrew people. It was a mixture.
And then what are your thoughts? Let me intersect this before I forget this idea. What are your thoughts on the Black Hebrew movement or identity? You know, I mean, there's some ample proof that they also exist, you know, especially in parts of West Africa, believe it or not, where they had quite a bit of influence. And they know the Torah better or equal to any Jew in Israel, right?
Well, that goes actually into the prophecy that talks about where Abraham is told that your descendants will move and become part of the descendants of the whole earth, and you will seed, and all nations will be blessed by your seed, and then it spreads out. And so one of the tribes became
the Black Hebrew. So there's the Igbo tribe. There's a lot. So you support that. That is plausible. That is totally within keeping with the biblical narrative.
Those 10 tribes, they dropped off and they've never reappeared. Yeah. And the only argument I've heard is that those 10 tribes had turned into the Celtics, the English, the Nordics, the Germans, the Danes.
One or two went
to Africa. One went to China, Asia. And so they actually, his seed, like the prophecy that was guaranteed to Abraham, that you
Abraham,
would be,
yeah.
Right. You're all okay. The nations of the world will actually, and so.
Be your, where do you, yeah.
Where do you find those genetic markers? Light skin people with hair on the face.
Right.
You actually take a look. Anybody that's actually made impact, George Washington Carver, take a look at him.
Yeah.
You see what I mean?
Yeah.
And so.
Yeah, I'm starting to support your theory. I mean, it does have merit, it seems. Yeah.
Very racist, which would account for maybe that is the seeds of racism, is that because God did bless that particular people and they would move out among the other 146 pairs. That was also created. They all feel an inherent snub, and so
See what I mean? And so there's
something like it's like genetics, which I'm not really
into. Basic terms, it's like God liked you best. Is what the kind of the dynamic that's
something
in play.
Like that, right?
And then it manifests as this hatred, this animus. You know, towards white people in particular, but yeah, like you're just a favorite, you know, like, you know, subconsciously at least, right? That's why they tend to react violently.
Right, and then if you take a look at like, it's in the 90% of inventions, new things, civilizations, complex societies, it all comes out of that the white bearded Northern European type.
The whites are prodigious inventors. Yes,
right. You got gunpowder from the Chinese, which why they didn't use it more on fireworks. The British took it. They came back and they go, "Hey, look, we don't use it for fireworks. We use it for cannons, and we're gonna blow your head off unless you snort this cocaine and addict your whole population." Right.
I mean, that would be the equivalent of the vaccine. In that day, time, right?
Yeah, yeah. But outside of a few things like that, and I think like the Persians, which are their Aryans supposedly, or the Arabs, they came up with the zero. But outside of something like that, 90%, and so literally the prophecy that the world will be blessed through your seed, and so that's the thinking. Now you're getting into what they call. Israel, British, I forgot what they call it.
Simply say the Adamic bloodline, because that's the source.
Right, the Adamic bloodline, right, of the of the Aryan race. And so what the Khazarians or the Jews have done, they go, no, no, you people aren't the special people. We are the special people. We are the chosen of God. And so they have usurped, which is also scripture, that they would usurp the original Hebrew people, and then they would be the ones. And so that's why they gravitated to Israel.
The imposters.
Right.
Yeah.
And then that's why they steal all the inventions and get Nobel Peace Prizes. And
right.
They go to the top
and
of the list.
And they are of Turkish Khazarian descent, the nomadic horsemen tribes of that area.
They all actually have serpent seed line blood in them. Then you get into the Cain and Abel,
yeah.
Which is a lot of white people like that. It's just not the Jews. There are black reptilians, human hybrids.
Anunnaki brought the beards to the white people.
Who did?
The Anunnaki. No,
Anunnaki. Well, the Anunnaki are the gods, and that hijack is referring to. Yeah. So they have the Anunnaki blessing.
Started all the religion where they stole. That's why Jesus is in the Catholic religion. Look at the Indians. They had a Mother Mary, too. It was all derived from the Anunnaki.
Well, but before we allow you to speak further, do you have a beard, Chair Bear?
Say that again.
Do you have a beard? Before you can speak further with authority, do you have a beard?
No, do you shave?
I'm 80% Indian.
Oh, so Jerry you Bear, don't do you have a beard?
I don't have no hair on my legs, no hair on my ass, no hair on my face.
Oh, we can't listen to you then.
So Jerry Bear.
See ya.
Jerry Bear, so you don't shave at all?
No, not today. I still got nubs, like, you know, I have a little facial hair, not like a full beard. I can grow one.
But you're like majority Native American.
Probably so.
Yeah. Okay, well, that would make sense. If you actually take a look at a pure blood Native American, Indian, doesn't matter which tribe.
Right.
They have beards. Both sides of my parents.
Right. Right. Yeah.
More so that they would let us know because my dad didn't want it, you know, he was just a different person. But I believe the Anunnaki created, when they moved us up to make us take care of their minds, because they didn't want to do it no more, that's when they created mankind.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, free and awake, we're coming up to the hour. We've been splashing around some heavy-duty racism.
Heavy, man. I mean, really heavy.
This is like...
But I think it's a conversation that's long overdue, you know, or if it needs to be brought back to the surface, especially in view of all the things that are happening. So I'm glad we're talking about it, and we're not trying to...
Well, this is all gravy. I wasn't even going to get on tonight. I'm actually not doing radio anymore.
I'm glad you're not doing radio anymore.
Really?
This is like
it's Mr. Rowe.
900th departure right now from the radio scene.
We need to have an emergency meeting. Jacker's leaving the radio station.
No, I mean, everybody's turned against me. The only reason I jumped in tonight is because Mr. Rowe knows how to punk me. He punches me.
Invited you.
You guys stop giving Hijacker, wait, I got to ask you the question, the ultimate question that I asked Jer Bear. Do you have a beard?
Oh, I'm like mechanic. I'm like, or like John Wayne. I'm like full.
Okay, Viking. I know mechanic has a beard. Okay, so there you go.
Yeah.
And so I might you are of the Adamic.
And I might even have some of the serpent seed line in me because I got a little auburn tint to my hair. I got it from my mom, who died when I was 5. Beautiful woman, gorgeous.
Right.
But she had a tint, so I got that. And then my ears are like a little pointy, so I'm thinking, you know, maybe I got some of that serpent seed line shit in me.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah. Zen said maybe we all do.
Yeah, we probably all have a trace of it. But, you know, we had no control over that whole process, if we do.
Yeah, so I'm wondering, like, I got a daughter that's got green eyes. Now, I got hazel. I got more, like, close to Jesus' eyes.
Right, right.
Some of my sons got blue eyes. But they all got blue eyes, yeah. So, yeah. Yeah, we're what you call, like, a combination of... then my wife, German, so she's got the pale, piercing blue eyes.
In Nordic, yeah. Bloodline right. There.
And so that gets into the whole genetics. And I'll tell you what, you want to go to somebody who's really into this stuff? He used to be on Revolution Radio. And I mean, he's hardcore. He's like, he's like super Aryan. You know his name, what his name is?
Mm-mm, who?
Pastor Eli.
Oh, yeah, Pastor Eli. Of course, I know Pastor Eli. Yes.
Yep. He lays it all out. He's all into his British Israelism.
Yes.
He lays out the case that, look, it's the white people that blessed the world, is where the inventions came from. I mean, he's like, he could show up in a Klan meeting and they would all buy him a drink. I mean, he could show up like a white right. supremacist organization, and
he's a kind man, you know. He has those beliefs, but he's not anti anybody. But he's pro his race, you know, and he supports his people. You know,
it's a whole mindset.
Right.
It's a very minority mindset among.
Well, that's what I was saying. He should have equal time, just like the gentleman that came on that mechanic introduced earlier.
Pastor,
the black man. Pastor Eli should be on CNN, C-SPAN, just like they allowed this black man to come on and talk against and rail against white people. Well, Pastor Eli should be able to get his message.
Right. I don't know his email address, but he's Pastor Eli James, and he's out of Chicago.
He moved from Chicago. That much I know. He finally got out of there. Yeah, not sure where he is now. But
yeah, because I couldn't believe he was on. Yeah, how he was talking to be in Chicago. I'm just thinking, man.
He's in the middle of, it's pretty dangerous. He's like in the lion's den, so to speak. But I think he might have been on the suburbs, but I think he was having some issues there. It was starting to encroach on him, so he finally left after decades, really.
One of the reasons you don't hear these type of lines of thinking is because as soon as you get into the whole genetics, where people come from, then all of a sudden it's like flat earth. All of a sudden you start to get to, wait a minute. There's a Canaanite or a serpent-seed blood among us.
And then
sensibilities. Right. Then you realize what the big game is on this enclosed earth that we're on, that God, for whatever reason, he created this beautiful place, and then turn it into purgatory. Threw both bloodlines down there and says, none of you are getting out. We're going to find out what you're going to decide, and then I'm going to sort you out at the end, and then we're going to build a nice universe. So, and so he just threw us down there in these slivery, stinking bodies with all our desires and everything else, and we just like, wow, we just slug it out, murder each other. Some are good, some are bad. I mean, it's like, wow.
I heard the music, so there's not going to be a break. Are we just going to continue on, which is fine by me?
We can go to hour number four if you guys are up to it. There's not going to be a break though.
Okay, I'm up to it, but
there's no break at the midnight hour.
All right, I'll come back. I need to take a little personal break, but I'll definitely come back.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, mechanic, play a song. Some kind of song, Red Rider. play that, like something crazy.
Yeah, because I'd like to make some coffee and stuff.
Hey, Mr. Bro, how about just run a promo and we'll go in the green room?
Well, now I got to take a break. I got to do what.
Yeah,
I don't care what you got to do. I mean, you think I care what we do?
You got to take him. He's got to go, Winky. You got to go help him.
Yeah, let me watch you. Let me walk you over to the bathroom.
All right.
Natural law. Do you enjoy interviews with amazing guests? Then join Crypt Rick every Monday night, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on Revolution Radio. Studio A, freedomslips.com. Crypt Rick's iPhone, thank you. Welcome to the Crypt.
It is no secret that the so-called mainstream media is best described as controlled propaganda. Countless news stories are either totally ignored or spun with half-truths, and because of this, essential facts and vital information are often compromised. Join Dr. Ott every Friday night on Studio B at 10 p.m. Eastern and learn why The Story Behind the Story was nominated for a Peabody Award in its second year of producing unparalleled broadcasting excellence in 1997. That is, if you really care about learning the truth.
Don't miss the Crypt Rick and Jonathan Show every Saturday, 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Studio B, right here at Revolution Radio.
The journey begins to fun, health, and freedom.
We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Look, you stupid bastard. You've got no arms left.
Yes, I have.
Look.
It's just a flesh wound.
I don't believe I've seen such a display of courage, skill, nerve, grace, stupidity.
I'll do you for that.
What?
Come here. What are you going to do, bleed on me?
I'm invincible.
You're a loony.
The Black Knight always triumphs.
Roundtable Live, Monday through Friday, 1 a.m. till 4 a.m. Eastern Time. Bring your mind, bring your ideas, bring your voice. King Arthur had nothing on us. Here, Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
Thanks for listening while we take that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And yeah, we're going to get back to your host.
Oh my goodness, somebody has sped up the watch. What is really going on around here? Hour number four on the High Council, brought to you free of charge. We are the first. You know, there's a podcast out there. They're called No Agenda, and they have this marketing campaign. They call it the value for value campaign, right? The value for value. So whatever value you get out of this broadcast, contribute accordingly, financially, right? That's their marketing campaign. They've been around 13, 14 years, I think. Just about the same time that Revolution Radio has been around. They, too, have the value-for-value financial system. If you enjoy the last 3 hours, if you've enjoyed the last 24 hours, and you want to keep listening to this broadcast every Wednesday, the High Council, get onto the website, make a donation, get on the Patreon circuit. If there's a store ever coming, make sure you get in there. It'll be there eventually. There's some art. There's some archives. There's a schedule. There's access to the chat. Yeah, there's a live chat going on right now. Matrix, Zoe in there dropping some pirates. No big deal. No big deal. Looks like a flat earther. All right. Yeah. Hey, hijacker. Here you go.
Yeah, so just picking up the conversation with the panel and with Free and Awake, we were talking basically about the...
Just the important stuff.
Yeah, this is the most important stuff.
Gotcha, go ahead.
Right, I mean, you know, we're talking about this fictitious bucket of penises that hospitals turn out every night is just like nonsense. Nobody wants to hear that. It's just like, it's not true. It's like not true. Okay. But... we were talking about the serpent seed line, the Edemic line, the 146 pairs.
I should just like, go ahead, Jagger, sorry.
Right. So we were just talking about, you know, the real construct of our world and what we're all up against. And the one thing that we do know is that for whatever reason, they might be smarter, but there are people that got Nephilim or fallen angel blood in them. Could be Rh negative. I'm not sure about that. Now I got O positive, which means I'm universal blood donor. But there's like 10 or 12% of the people got special Rh negative, I think it is.
Yeah, we got the same blood type, hijacker.
Right. Yeah, that's
positive,
what I mean.
Yeah.
We're all mixed up. And I actually prescribe to Zen's theory, especially knowing how the serpent seed line people are. It's like they don't actually make really good fathers or families for whatever reason. I don't know if it's a higher sexual proclivity, what it is about them, but they do seem, well, it's just like what Zen said, you know, Lucifer was the father of Cain. So supposedly, you know, Eve had relations with Lucifer and says, wow, look at this. And she realized, you know, hey, Adam, look what Lucifer taught me. It was bumping bellies. This is fun. And then Adam basically impregnated her, and there was actually two that were born of them. One, and some say they were actually twins, or they weren't actually genetic twins, but twins from, you know, different fathers. One was Cain, one was Abel. Well, what did the father of Cain do? He took off. He took off to roam the earth. And so it seems like these are the guys that like to get into people's houses and screw each other's, you know, other people's wives and spread their seed out. And so here it after thousands of years, probably it's true. It's probably we all got some serpent seed in us to some degree. And then also the Adamic seed line or the white bearded ones that spread out to where you got people like what we talked about, free and awake, whereas anybody that's, you know, accomplished. Why is it that they seem to all have facial hair? They got to use a razor. Just one of those things. Kind of weird. But so if we're dealing with two different bloodlines, and then also that it talked about where Cain went off and he got a wife from, other words, the earth was not like people thought. And so he got a wife. Some people said, no, it was that Cain married his sister from Adam and Eve. That's the Protestant.
He was right. A Nodite wife from the land of Nod.
Right. So you got to ask yourself, if you actually take a look at the oldest people on the earth, they are Asian and they are blacks. In fact, you can see these black stone
megaliths
or whatever they are. They washed up and they're all throughout like South America, and they are black men and they are really old.
The Olmecs.
Right. They look like they ruled the earth at one time. I mean, they were kings and stuff. Looks like the earth was theirs, or at least that part of the earth. But it was all about them. And so and then for whatever reason, the earth was destroyed. And then God created another pair, which we call Adam and Eve, and said, replenish the earth. As well as 146 other pairs. And so that's the story of Zen's, you know, he gets into all these ancient writings and the Book of Giants and all the rest of this and that. And so, but if we actually take a look at who controls the governments of the world, and I have yet to find any family or any leader of the world that does not have the genetic markings of the Canaanite or the Hittite or the a serpent seed, like reptilian type bloodline in them. All of them. Like Xi Jinping, he's from the Li family. Very old, old Illuminati family. That ruled, they were emperors in Europe. Xi Jinping is actually from the bloodline of the emperors of Europe. If you want more of this, go to Gary Wayne, his book. And the book is like absolutely incredible. It's got like 120 pages of just nothing but references. I've never seen a book like it. It's called The Genesis 6, The Number 6 Conspiracy. I think you can go to Genesis6conspiracy.com, and he goes into the bloodlines.
So Mao wasn't successful, or maybe he did not want to completely wipe out that bloodline of the emperors?
No, no. Mao was actually from that same family.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Because he always comes across. He's always packaged as an uprising peasant from the peasant class.
Right.
You know,
yeah, they always do that. Yeah, that's the mark of these people. They are psychopaths. They're sociopaths. They know how to lie, deceive.
Right.
They're very cunning. And they just gravitate to power. But like Khan of Pakistan, take a look at his family line. He comes from an old family line. The Ayatollah in Persia.
Right.
Same thing. They come from the Putin. Putinov. He was actually a bastard of a czarist, an old czarist family. And so you just take a look, one right after another. It doesn't matter where you look.
And I believe Khan means king or nobility, something of the noble caste, right? The Khan.
Yeah, Khan, Cain, it's close. Cain, Fidel Castro, he comes from an old bloodline. Trudeau Castro comes from Castro. He's in control. Right. And so wherever you look, these people who seem to have a good amount of this
psychopathy.
Well, no, it's because they're not all bad. They're not all bad.
No, but but a lot of them are.
Yeah, a lot of them are. Like, you know, Trump's a fairly good guy, but damn if you actually get some good footage of him, he's got that shape shifting. He's got those reptilian eyes. Same with Melania. They got it. I mean, if you know how to look for it, you can go to any family and you can check it out and you go, wow. But anyways, I don't want to talk too much. Looks like we got a call or something. Who's on?
That's our good friend Harry Springford from Australia Parts. Yes.
He should be working.
You sound much better. Yes, you are much better, clearer, consistent, all that. Got it, man.
Yeah, it's good to hear the hijacker go on about the Rh negative bloodlines, you know, and the green-eyed red beard. Even Muhammad is meant to have red beard. It's very traditional in Islam to have that red beard thing. So, there's a lot in that. But if you look back at the Box Saga from Finland, like the like an indigenous story from Finland, say, okay, from coming from the families from the first time and when they call the time of paradise, and then they had the story of what happened with Odin and Odin's ring and all that sort of stuff, and how hell become Helsinki, because hell was an inner place to inner earth, like a step in the inner earth kingdom, and the word Atlantis comes from alt lands ice, because before there was ice, there was a paradise of tropical climate and everyone was tropical people, as the story goes. So, it comes from this, and this is where the Rh negative bloodline spread it out from there, was through the Atlan Mountains. Again, it sort of rings true. The Iberians, the Basque, the, there's another, Burgers, you know, of Africa. They are a white race, the Gorges of Canary Islands. Right. And,
people. Yeah, Harry can't help but notice that you also have a beard. So that's the topic of our discussion too. So.
Oh yeah, yeah.
You must be of the bloodline.
Yeah, probably.
Friend Wake. Every time I think of you, I'm going to laugh because I'm going to know for the rest of your natural life. The first thing that you're going to want to know is, do you shave or not? I mean
that's my qualifier.
Yeah.
Yes, that's my qualifier.
Well, Sergeant Miller's online. I bet Sergeant Miller's got a – Sergeant Miller, do you got a shave? You driving truck right now? I bet Sergeant Miller's got a beard.
Yeah, but he probably shaves. Stepped away. We got to ask him, right? And two feathers.
Ball Jacker.
Yeah, there he is.
Jack is the George Lucas of Rev Radio.
Do you shave? Sergeant Miller, do you shave?
No, I'm Norman on my mother's side, so I have a beard.
Oh, there you go.
There you go. See, popped up again. And he knows about the Dumoulin, the black Freemasons.
Yeah, because he's of French ancestry. So there you go.
Right, but I'm saying, why is it that he would know about? Most black people do not know about black Freemasons. So how does Sergeant Mueller know about that?
Because I was recruited by him.
Right. And why? I can tell you, my father was one. So there you go. In fact, he had a Freemasonic funeral. So there you go. So we both have that in common there, Sergeant Mueller, that Masonic, black Masonic Prince Hall connection.
Mm-hmm. There you go. And that's documented history in the archives, National Archives.
Yeah.
That's part of American history.
Yeah. Yes, indeed. But continue on, bearded one. Or I should be more clear, Sergeant Mueller, because Harry is also the bearded one.
Yeah, well, I mean, things I've studied about the human hair, you know, the breakdown of it is antennas. That's what your hair follicles, you know, it adjusts to your environment, and it actually gives you warnings.
Yeah. Like the Native Americans, right? The Navajo. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the Thule Society, those five beautiful naked women that advised the Nazis.
They yes, had, right.
Yeah, they had long hair. And then the other thing.
I got a beard.
Harry, is that actually you? Is that your real hair in your beard?
No, I'm a bot. My name is not Harry. I am not a real person.
Wow, so
he's got
Harry
the whole
looks like
Viking regalia there. He's got the looks horn like, and hat.
He's got whitish, long hair, white
looks
beard.
Looks like Odin.
Yeah, it looks like
we
got to
get John Wayne back on the call. You got a relative on the call, John Wayne.
May the gods be with you.
Wait,
the Vikings are taking over. Harry's mommy with a beard? I don't think so.
It looks like the guy out of the White Wizard out of Lord of the Rings, Harry. Wow. You're wild looking.
Yeah. Right on, dude. Very striking. Yes. I fear you, man, if I ran into
latest,
you.
That's my question for selling jewelry.
Ooh. Okay. And you still have your guitar with you when you... That ought to be something in your Viking gear, your long beard, and then your guitar and jewelry. Man, that's
if I started rock, my head would fall off.
You know, that's true. You can't move your head too much, right? No way. Yeah. Wow. Interesting. Mm-hmm. So we are more than what we appear at the surface, I guess. You know. That's true for all humanity. Yeah. So.
Yeah, right. That's why they. That's why Pastor Eli James he goes into the initial blessing that you would bless all nations, and
that's right.
You would integrate, and so.
That's true. I'm glad you said that because I didn't want him to be perceived as like this vehement racist. He's not, like I said, he's proud of his race and he will defend and protect his race and his heritage, but he's not against any race. He is a true pastor in that sense, you know?
Right. No, for sure. No, I don't mean to respond. Yeah.
But some races have personalities, right? Like the Dutch are meant to be very arrogant. My sister's married to a Dutchman and she know it all the time. So there are traits and peculiarities with each nation, you know.
Right.
The French, you know, very amorous or whatever, you know, or sneaky or whatever, depending on who you talk to.
The lovers, huh?
So you've got all that sort of stuff going on, you know, and that's just, I've got a book. I think you get it. if you get it at the Smithsonian Institute online, you can actually look at this book. And it's The Living Races of Mankind. And there's about 178 different races listed in there, and it gives you the peculiarities of their culture, all written there in photographs and stuff like that. So,
right.
You know,
doesn't that apply in that face?
Yeah, there's certain traits for each different group. They're actually they're the most intelligent. It's supposed to be some kind of Chinese tribe, and then it's the Sephardic. Is it Sephardic or the Ashkenazi Jews, which are next as far as IQ level? And then it gets into David Duke breaks this down a lot, which, by the way, even though David Duke is bearded and he's white, guess what he has?
What's that?
He's got a serious pair of reptilian blue eyes.
Oh, really? What's the distinction?
When you see him when he was younger and you saw him in that dragon costume with the Ku Klux Klan, he was a white dragon or something like that. Man, he's got a pair. Scary.
Were they like slitted eyes like a snake's? Or what are
like,
you referring
straight
to?
Straight up and down. Deep, deep piercing blue. Yeah.
Oh, that. Yeah.
Yeah, so he's got some.
I got some photos of me playing drums at this club, and you could swear there was a lizard sitting behind the drums playing, just the way photograph was taken. It was trippy.
Other than you, behind you, not you yourself, right?
It was me. It looked like, because of the blur and the way we all sort of came out, it was like, Dorothy the dinosaur playing or something, you know?
That's a whole another level. Where it gets into dimensional, where these actually these reptilian type of beings are actually able to attach to people who got certain genetics onto them, or maybe the way they live. I'm not sure, but I've seen that too, where that you got attachments or actual what looks like a lizard type of beings that are near or attached to. People, so and that gets into dimensions, so to speak.
Yeah, it was just a blur in the photography, but it just looked really trippy, you know.
Or was it a blur on the photography? As hijackers
No, it's not a blur. Listen, there's too much of it. Once you know how to look for it, you can see it all around.
Maybe I blurred it out.
Well, I'm going to ask the question. I'm going to challenge the panel, right? And I just want you to do some soul searching and really think about this question. Do you believe that there is a hierarchy of races that God designed and structured on this earth, with whites being at the top, at the pinnacle of that hierarchy, as Hijacker is suggesting? And the successive races all have their order within that structure, lower down the pyramid or diagram.
Well, Harry wants to go. If he wants to go first, go ahead. But I got a pretty good theory. Go ahead.
Yeah.
It's more. Look, in general, you've got a one sort of kaleidoscope spin of the view. It's much more complex than that. There are so many different species and entities rivaling for this quantum experience on this planet. And it's a matter of how the next few years and how the sciences merge with spirituality. And this is what's going to happen, is going to see this transformational shift. So I'll give it the other dimensions to come forward, as well as the other beings and galactic groups of whatever they are coming here again.
Because so you're suggesting, Harry, that the hierarchy that exists now doesn't really matter in the end, because we're all going to transcend and become higher beings?
Well, it's been there before. If I've dumped in the chat there, the Sumerian Mysteries documentary. You know, they've just deciphered a lot of the cuneiforms, a lot more of the cuneiform script now, and it gives a much broader perspective of understanding. We've got the story of Noah and everything else in there, you know, and get the Epic of Gilgamesh, and, you know, Noah is actually mentioned in there as well. So it's like the whole picture is much broader than what we've been programmed by this Babylonian money trick system to be seduced by the harlot and, you know, conquered by the angels, Ariel or whatever they are, Azrael, you know, by when really that's just one facet of a much pantheon of things that currently do exist that we can draw from that will break the curse of trapped in by this belief in this can be only one way.
Well, I would say you skillfully dodged the question. It was a brilliant answer, but we still don't know your take on the present structure. Do you support that belief in the hierarchy or no? Do you think it's not much credence to it?
No, there is. There's a higher
hierarchy of races. And in particular, whites being at the pinnacle of that hierarchy, that structure?
No, I don't. I think
they
all...
You don't subscribe to that? Yeah.
The Maui, in Maui, there's a tribe over there called the Dogon, or Dogon belief system. And they say that, you know, the cannabis plant came from Sirius B, from the goddess that came from there. So, you know, how can the white people be so smart if they're not going to provide, you know,
they're not capable of interstellar space travel, for one, right? That the Maori descendants were, or the visitors that brought the plant.
That everyone's programmed to.
Yeah, I hear you. Okay, fair enough. What about you, Sergeant Miller? What's your view on this hierarchy of being, of existence, of races? Somebody's cleaning out the cupboard or something. Maybe he's busy. Well, Hijacker, we know your view, but if you want to expound on it.
Right. Well, no, Jer Bear, he's the one that he's got a mute.
Okay.
Why?
Yeah, so it's like this. In other words, when Jesus was crucified, and this is Zen's theory, and I like it, he was crucified in the middle of two with outstretched arms. Supposedly, the one on the right said basically curse God and die when Jesus offered him paradise or whatever. He was of the serpent seed line, but still, Jesus, who is the incarnate of God, God loves all. However, some are more favored than others. You got to have a lot of children to understand what I mean.
But isn't that sort of a contradiction?
No.
From God?
No. He's not impartial or partial to anybody. In other words, God's love is full up to the measure for each one. But some he favors. And so when he was crucified, you had the serpent seed line on one side and you had the Mame and the Adamic on the other.
The red blood.
Right. It died, right. But he died for both. So that does mean, that means like people like Trump, although I don't know if he's going to make it now after the vaccine, guys like him can actually make it to heaven. Putin, I'm thinking I'm going to see the great and mighty warrior king of Mother Russia, Vladimir Putin. I'm pretty sure I'm going to see him in heaven.
Yeah.
But they're the exception to normal. But when you go into the hierarchy of...
How do you know you're going to make it to heaven, sucker wolf?
Oh, you just know. It's one of these things.
Yeah. He has every right to hope. Yeah.
No, it's not
hope.
Yeah,
he's going there, but everybody else ain't.
That's Hijacker for you.
Yeah, no. I mean, you know when you're saved. Let me put it that way.
Right.
But so it says, as it is in heaven, so on earth. And so when you actually take a look, there is actually races in heaven, believe it or not.
Interesting concept.
And guess what the highest race is in heaven? They are archangels and they are of the serpentine bloodline. In fact, Lucifer, Satan, actually was above the throne of God, and he was called the viper of God or the dragon of God.
The seraphim,
right. And so you have a snake-like type looking angelic beings in heaven, which, by the way, most of them rebelled. That's where the one-third came from. They were of the serpentine, most of them. But you had the
Is it serpentine or seraphim? Yeah. I don't want to confuse the similar sounding terms.
Well, I'm dyslexic, so Harry's probably right.
Okay, so seraphim.
Serpent.
Yeah.
Right. They're more like a reptilian viper type.
But they have the features of a snake, even if they're not called serpentine. They are serpentine like.
Right. You take a look at there's actually four different types of faces of angels in heaven. One is an ox. One is a man. One is a lion, where you have the actual lion people. And one is something else, but it goes into the Ophelene. So there is actual, in heaven, there was actual different type of angelic races in heaven.
So there's a hierarchy.
Look, there's so many, and what you don't realize is heaven is in the stars. These star systems, all they are is firmaments that have been flayed out to support these domains that are harmonically balanced on the equilibrium to maintain a perfect state of existence. That's all they are.
Harry, I know what I'm giving is a counter theory. You got to remember, I'm a flat earther, enclosed earth.
Yeah.
No star system. Right. In other words, when you look at the pole star, 10 dimensions up is the throne of God, literally. So you got to realize I'm no space. You got to realize I'm on a completely different level than where you're at.
So how do we flat earthers reconcile the notion of stars and other planets? Do we disregard them? Are they?
No, Zen did a whole book about the stars. They are actually sentient beings. And if you actually take a look, go on YouTube.
That's even more majestic than the stars. I mean, they're not like a dead rock. It's a living sentient being.
Yeah, go on YouTube, find somebody who has a real powerful telescope, and all they do is look deep into what they would call space to all types of different stars, like the dog star, like, you know, all these different stars. And they got real high-powered telescopes. Every single one is different. In fact, free and awake, some of them look like they actually have faces.
Oh my goodness! Like the man on the moon, the man in the moon, the chief.
Like a completely different.
He showed some of his with his camera, and they like pulse.
They pulse, yeah. All different colors, different shapes. They're not all round. I mean, they got kind of a roundish feature to them, but not all of them are like that. So once you take a look, you realize, wow. And Zen actually goes into. He wrote a whole book on Enoch and the stars, because he could never understand that part until he became a flat earther. And then he shut up. He wouldn't answer my calls. And then he wrote another book, and it was like book number 8, The Firmament and the Stars. And he goes into, so like a jellyfish in the ocean, a completely different being than any animal or anything like us, right?
Right.
It's not like a fly. It's not like a dog. It's not like us. It's not like a fish. It's something completely different. It's
alien, almost.
I mean, the only star.
That's what
the only star we're really close on is the sun.
That's what the stars are.
When you look on the sun, you can see the mass of that hydrogen flaring up and going into the black space holes and stuff like that. And water's actually being spurted out. Did you know that? The water?
Water?
The
sun, on the
spurting
sun?
Water.
The sun has water? That makes sense. It has hydrogen. All that needs is oxygen. That does make sense, Harry.
It spurts out water. And
wouldn't it steam away or
You can see
evaporate?
It if you watch the flares and the stuff and the flows and the.
But how is
it
physically possible, Harry? Because it's so hot.
You
want to
know what the biblical cosmology is of the sun?
What's that?
What happens is.
Here you
go. Sun
the sun is actually, according to the Book of Enoch, the sun is actually 10,000 of the most zealous angels of God all together singing to God. And they're the ones that actually produce the heat that heats the earth.
Wow. Yep. How poetic,
and
They sing day and night, glory to God.
It's the Ark of the Covenant. And what it is a hydrogen pillar. That's all they are. And they sit on all the temple sites, the ancient temple sites around the planet. They do the same thing. They provide this canopy. They are the pillars, literally the pillars of heaven. What they've encapsulated in the stone pillars that you see in Greece and other things, you know, with the curly bits on the bottom and the curly bits on the top.
Right.
You know, they're portals. They're porting through to other celestial realms, these mm-hmm. channels, these mm-hmm. these pillars. What's encoded?
There are some people here that say, some people do say that the sun is actually what we see is actually a projection out of the firmament. And so what we're actually seeing is more of a projection. But supposedly, according to the Book of Enoch, it's 10,000 angels that God had created too zealous, and they grouped them together to be the sun. So,
when he sat on the throne of Magnetron, whatever his name was, you know, there was this paradise that he sat on this throne to, this pillar, and this throne, and he ported basically as a porting station, where you come through into other places, like a teleport sort of thing. You know, thrones, mm-hmm. that's what they are.
Yeah, you're getting into dimensions now. So, yeah, go ahead. If
people forget the full story. We only get the religious side of things and broken down into little bits to make people follow a narrative. But really, when you take a step back and look at the bigger picture, these royal people were ascended from these stones or rocks that are placed under thrones or whatever.
Did we lose Harry?
He might have dropped out for a minute. Let's see if he comes back. Yeah.
Different
what Harry needs to do. There you go. Go ahead, Harry.
We had a different atmosphere. We cohabited with giants and fairies and elves and pixies and God knows what else in this rich atmosphere of luscious, fresh sort of living air.
Right. Well, now, Harry, just to let you know, wait a minute. You got an ally here. So you got a Christian. He calls himself a Christian. Contrarianism is...
Christian contrarian. Okay.
Yeah, contrarian. In other words, he.
Oh, so you're labeling someone you don't even know what you think someone is. Is that what it is?
No, I don't know. I'm not pronouncing the name right.
This self-styled Christian.
I'm trying to back up about the fairies and the elves and all this stuff that you're talking about. So this Christian contrarianism, Gary Wayne, who wrote the book, The Genesis 6, with a number 6. conspiracy.com, he wrote a big fat book, and he talks about elves, fairies, the elements, the bloodlines. You would really
mythology.
I wish I had your address. I would actually. Well, I'm too damn poor to buy you a book, Harry. But anyways, just go online and look up Genesis 6 conspiracy, Gary Wayne, and buy his book. But he talks about what you're talking about. Oh, these different elementals.
Yeah.
Gnomes.
See, the atmosphere is different. And in fact, when you go to forest or mountain areas, it's still pretty thick and dense like it used to be, the atmosphere, because it was pretty still protected. So you get more of these apparitions, or the appearance, I should say, of these vibrational entities that require a lot more thicker, sort of richer environment to really be manifest in, because the things are getting so thin on the outer scales of the Earth, you know, we're getting burned up, sort of, so to speak. And so this is because the whole system has fallen down. You know, the fall of man, the fall of the star from the sky, the fall of Lucifer, the bright and shining morning star, you know, all this sort of stuff. The lighting up of the way is more the Christ, the light, okay? The light that shines within. And the light that shines within also manifests not only to the physical of the human being, but to the etherical or the earth and its being and its focal points and its chakra points, let's say, its ley line accesses that need to be lit up. And it's not going to be lit up until we have the technology fine enough, so delicate enough to use the right harmonics to generate the right hum to create that light to be ignited. And it's not going to happen with money. It's because money is not going to be important anymore, because once you figure out how to recalibrate creation, there's no need to use any resources.
So now you're talking about, wait a minute, Harry, let me just interject. So you're talking about frequencies. And so this goes on to the smallest particle that the physicists could actually capture. And they can't see it. All they can see is the pattern of the particle. So they can't actually capture it, but they can capture the pattern.
Yeah, it's the graviton. Pattern. Mm-hmm. Graviton.
Right. And guess what the pattern is?
Star of David?
Nope. The pattern is like the pattern of sound. And if you think about it, in the beginning, God, in the beginning,
was the word,
and God spoke, and it was. And so
exactly. It
goes into everything is actually a frequency when actually God spoke everything into existence.
Exactly.
That's your Big Bang. You got to become a flat earther. You got to rip apart, and you got to be could do what every flat earther has done and says, you know what? I'm going to destroy this insane flat earth concept and rip it apart and attack it. And then you're going to become a flat earther.
Up and down the country of Australia and seeing the star systems. And there's no way you can convince me that there's the same star system for two hemispheres. Because I know they're different, so I don't know how you're going to explain that one.
No, you're looking from Australia towards me. I'm looking from the north. I'm right under the Big Dipper. I'm looking towards you. It looks like two star systems. I'm telling you, Harry.
Yeah, destroy two pole stars as well. We've got a southern pole star as well. So, you know, you've got different. You don't see our southern pole star.
You get the Southern Cross too. There, right?
Yeah. You don't see that either, do you?
No, that's like the water goes backwards in the northern and southern hemisphere. That's all bullshit. You got no pole star.
Which way does your toilet flush, Harry? You got to tell us, man.
Nah, yours that's already been disproven.
Well, it hasn't been proven disproven recently, so we need an update. Does your toilet
live on clockwise?
Yes, we're gonna settle this. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to prove or disprove the theory of the counter rotation.
That's already been proven.
I got something to say about my friend Omega Locos down in Australia. I was doing a live show, and it was when the blood moons were happening. Let me finish this, please. I said, hey, Omega Locos, you're in the chat room. Go outside and look at the moon. And tell me what angle you're looking at and give me an idea. So he went out and he said he looks north. And he said that the angles are like a 45 of the moon and a kiss to the right. So I said, and I went and looked at it here in Vegas. And I saw it to the south, a 45 degree angle to the up and a kiss to the right. So I was just saying, he's looking from it from all down under. I'm looking at it from the
side. Right.
It's basically he saw the same angle, but a different approach because it was opposite of what I saw. Over.
But complimentary, based on your perspectives.
I'm back, and after I flushed the loo, it just sort of all rushed into one big lump of water, and I thought, what the hell? How am I going to figure it out? But I think it went anti-clockwise down.
Counterclockwise. Okay.
No, there's no, the bullet spins a certain way.
Well,
there's no water going backwards.
Now you got to go flush your toilet and tell us if yours goes
clockwise. No, you're not getting it. Flat earthers, that's what I'm saying. Harry needs to debunk flat earth.
Well, you're in the bathroom already. You can just flush the toilet.
Already debunked.
No, flat earthers have done 1,000 experiments with all this kind of stuff.
Do it for humor us.
The Mariners,
it's where the water comes out at the angle. It has nothing to do with it's all bunk.
So you say.
It's like
you will not flush that toilet, will you?
It's like when you shoot a bullet out of a gun, you got to measure for the arc. No, you don't. That's all. These are all lies. That's what Harry has to do. All Harry has to do, Harry, debunk.
All I mentioned is about celestial realms, and they're onto flat Earth because I mentioned the word firmament, Jacko. You're still going off on your little eye horse.
No, I'm just saying, Harry, all you have to do is do what 100 million of us.
Who's the damage control freak here?
Harry, just.
Who's looking for who? The CIA? Huh?
Harry, all I'm simply saying is just debunk the insane concept of a flat earth. That's all you got to do. And you will become a flat earther like the rest of us.
I have.
So the opposite of that. About
star systems. Like, you can't tell me there's two. If we didn't have two hemispheres, we wouldn't have two different star systems. You've got the northern star system and the southern star system.
No, you're not getting it, Harry. You've been lied to about that.
What's when it's in the sky, when you can see it yourself in the sky. Don't you look up at the sky? And
I'm telling you, Harry, all you got to do is check into it. You're going to find out there is no southern pole star. It's bullshit. It's bullshit.
Well, what is it then? What is he seeing? What is he observing?
Educate me. Come on.
No, for Australia, you may be seeing a star, but you got to realize that the circumference of the Earth, the ice ring that goes all the way around, when Harry looks out south, you're talking about that ice ring goes around about 68,000 miles. There's people that have already sailed all across the ice wall, all the way around.
Antarctica
is not a continent.
I've seen the Southern Aurora, so I've got no idea, you got no idea what I've seen.
You're seeing the sun in the dome. You're not getting, Harry, debunk flat Earth. That's all you got to do. Just kill it.
I can't agree to it. It's like.
So is it true whenever we see a rainbow, we're seeing the reflection off the off the dome?
That you need to.
No, it's an optical illusion. That's all it is.
No,
right, but it's still an optical.
You cannot get a rainbow without a mirror. You can't.
Right.
Yeah, it's just you missed high pressure water.
No, you got to have two mirrors, one atmospheric and one either a mirror or a dome. That's why if you see water spraying up in a on a mall. You get no rainbow. You put a mirror near it, you'll see a rainbow. That's the dome.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you, Harry, all you got to do is debunk flat Earth, and then you're going to get – you'll probably become a most powerful writer like Zen Garcia. Your mind's going to probably open up, and you're probably going
to
say –
Go ahead, Harry. You're up to the challenge, man. Prove Hijacker wrong, man. Make it use his words.
That's all he's got to do.
You still haven't given me
what he's going to do.
Intelligible answer to the fact about the
star two hemispheres,
north and southern star systems, and you say it's bullshit. Well, that really is not an education for me, mate. Unless you can point to me someone who explains about the star systems and how they actually aren't part of the flat Earth theory.
Let me ask you: when the sun goes down, from the time the sun goes down over the horizon to the time it gets dark, how long does that usually take? 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 20 minutes, how long?
About an hour or so.
Okay, look that up on Flat Earth, and you'll know why.
That's got nothing to do with the stars. If you're pointing me to all these other things and not...
No, you got a dome. You don't realize where you're at in the construct of the Flat Earth. And anyways, I'm not going to argue about this. This never goes well. This never goes well. He's either going to do it or he's not. Go ahead.
That corkscrew thing you see of the Earth moving around the sun and the sun moving around and all the other things moving around, I don't believe in that either. So don't get me wrong. I don't agree.
No, I'm trying to save you, Harry. I'm trying to actually give you the highest knowledge. I'm trying to give you the highest knowledge.
What I say stars are motionless entities of self-consciousness because they've managed to control gravity. They've managed to have this sense of rotational shift within themselves, and planets don't have that.
Right, and just take a look at your stars. Look how they rotate. Your stars rotate.
They're self-managing, the self-fulfilling. That's why everything is programmed to become a star on the Earth. You know.
Okay. All right, Gary. I tried.
Another level.
But the stars are not free to deviate, right, Harry? So their existence is kind of fixed and limited. Suspended.
They're suspended in an animation.
But that can't imagine that being a thrilling experience, you know, the novelty would wear off, right? You're just suspended the same past.
No, they're portals. All the suns
and
stuff. So they're communicating with each other all the time. It's the...
So they interact.
Yeah, free and awake. Only,
so they're not.
Only Harry trying to debunk Flat Earth is going to snap him out of it. And if he snaps out of it, he's going to become a great writer. He's going to come up with stuff that he never thought of.
He may.
No, I know he will.
He may prove us wrong. He may come up
with it. The Temple of Jerusalem needs to be restored to fulfill the prophecies that are going on, or, you know, the Muslims carrying on, and everyone's saying, we got control of the temple. When really, they don't understand the whole region has temples. Like Lebanon has temples. You know, Greece has temples. Italy has temples.
Wait a minute, Harry. So you're in Bruce McDonald's camp that Jerusalem is going to become the capital of the world?
No, Jerusalem should be the start of the great change. Because this is where the Jesus said, I'm not coming back until you restore the temple. And he's not talking about the temple of the body of man, because the soul is corrupt by going and killing in the name of God. So, you know, that's way out the window for a start.
Wow. So, you know? Harry, wait a minute. You're a Zionist?
If you want to put on the Zionist thing, Zion is what needs to happen. Ionization of the temple.
Wow, Harry.
He got you. Yeah, he's brilliant.
He's deep.
He's the
deep.
Master of obfuscation and dodge.
No. He's actually got. I don't know where he's got his training, but he's got really deep. It's almost occultic. It's almost demonic. A type of deception thinking.
Harry has his own personal library. Yeah, with the Library of Congress. It's a shame, right, Harry?
Now
that it looks like the White Wizard
from the Lord of the Rings. He's teasing deep.
Hey,
God,
that's it for us. All right. Are we done?
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio. Are you interested in the paranormal? Murder mystery? Real natural law? Do you enjoy interviews with amazing guests? Then join Fripp Rick every Monday night, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on Revolution Radio. Studio A, freedomslips.com. Crypt Ricks, I think, thank you. Welcome to the crypt.
Hi, I'm Bill Johnson.
Some consider my efforts to be an underground law school. I am not an attorney, and I do not give legal advice. I teach. That's lawful and legal. Consider yourself served. You are to appear Wednesday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, Studio A. My forte? Foreclosure and contract law. Grab your legal pad and pen. Learn a broad spectrum of law spanning administrative, criminal, family, tort, and federal law. Fools and losers cling to old cases. I dissect and comment on the latest rulings that control the courts. Don't be a loser. And if you don't appear, you will be held in contempt.
Hi, this is Robert Stanley. I'm the host of the Unicus Report, where we explore enigmatic events taking place both on and off this world. Please join me Mondays from noon till 2 p.m. Eastern on Revolution Radio, Freedom's Lips.